begin. Hoorah.
Eh. not feeling it today.
You're not? No.
No, it's the very end of, what is it now? It's the middle of September? Is it the end of September? It's the middle. We'll call it middle-ish.
Middle.
And this is the very end of my allergy season. And I'm really feeling it today. But I'm super stoked to be doing this podcast this morning.
Oh, yeah, I can tell. I can tell. You seem over the moon excited to be up early. You got your coffee, I hope.
I got my coffee, yeah. And, you know, you also have me really, really stoked to talk about family. My freaking favorite thing ever.
Oh, yeah. Friends and family. I'm calling this friends. The friends and family episode.
Yeah, okay. Great.
Friends and family. So, before Discord, let's talk about the Discord. Everyone loves us talking about the Discord and the Hopnologists. We got 5 new folks who jumped on the Hopnology bandwagon with us over the last, I'm going to say, couple of weeks, because for some reason I looked and said, wow, I haven't done shout-outs in a while. So Manny, John, Brandon, William, Janelle, thank you for joining us. Half of your last names are impossible to pronounce, so I'm just going with first names today.
We're on a first name basis on the Discord with Hopnologists anyways.
Oh, totally are. But we appreciate you hopping on, getting to all those, that back catalog. There's been a new demand for the back catalog of episodes. I think because folks are looking for certain things, and I think I've mentioned it, if I haven't, shame on me, but we just reorganized the website a bit, and you can now search by topic. We've got all the historical podcasts grouped together. So if you're... I think the best grouping is the rants. If you're looking to hear us rant about things, I mean, that's a great way to spend an evening. Just a couple of beers and binging Hopnology rantings of us complaining about stuff.
Yep. We're good at that part.
Mm-hmm. We are. So go for it. Go for it. Go listen to some of that stuff. But on the Discord, we get some of our ideas from there. We get a lot of our ideas from there. And we have one of our growers who went on a little bit of a venting mechanism about working with his family. He's got, quote unquote, free labor. We've talked about the labor thing before, but
does emotional baggage count as current? Because it's definitely not free.
I think it's just like any other kind of exercise. Carrying it makes you stronger,
or completely breaks you.
Well, yeah, there can be that. But we started getting into a bit of a back and forth on working with family. And after talking about it for, I don't know, half an hour or so back and forth, he's like, okay, I'm better now. Thank you for listening. But it begged the question of working with family. And look, if you don't know us well enough by now, James and I are related by marriage to our respective spouses, our sisters. I want to make that clear.
Yes.
And... so that's how we know each other. We've known each other for a very long time. That, you know, we're friends as well. I'm going to throw that out there and hope you agree. or you can just be silent.
I'm just going to leave that hang right there. Just dead floating silence. In the air. Yeah. Crickets.
But, you know, the family thing's how we found each other, obviously. And when we had Gorse Valley Hops, it was a collection of friends and family. And that's how we started. And that's how a lot of small businesses start, because certainly you need financial support. And what better place to get that than from your friends and family? Because that never ends badly. And you need emotional support and, you know, labor and assistance and whatnot, getting things done. Well, why should I pay someone to do that when, you know, my sister knows how to do that? Or this buddy's really interested in helping me out. So there are a lot of good reasons to get involved with your friends and family, but a lot of reasons why things can go poorly.
Totally sideways. Mm-hmm. And I think it all comes down to expectations and assumptions. They assume that because, you know, you have a family member, it could be children, it could be aunts and uncles, parents, a spouse, that you assume that, you know, A, they're as passionate about this as you are, and B, that they're going to come along with you willingly. And that is not always the case. Like certainly with parents, most parents I think are supportive and, you know, want to help as they can their children and, you know, want to get involved. And in some cases they're seeing it as an opportunity, you know, to be closer to their child and be involved more closely in their life. However, and that's all great, but however, the risk that you run there is that you are always their baby. You don't know as much as they do, and what they know what's good for you, and what's good for you, and what's good for your business are the same thing. So you can get them, you can get some into some pretty testy situations where, you know, parents know better, right, than you.
They do. And it's, you know, and of course, everyone's parents are different and people are all different. But at least in my experience, it takes a lot of calm introspection, I'll say, to realize that it's not a matter of distrust. It's not a matter of, look, you're the kid, I'm the adult, even though you're the, you know, 45-year-old kid. It's a protectiveness thing. It's just, let me give you some of my experience. As you said, you'll always be their baby. I had the hardest time with this, with second guessing from my father, until my kids very recently, as teenagers now, I've had that epiphany where I look at them and go, I'm always going to think of you as that 3-year-old that I have to pick up so they can reach the item on the shelf. That's never going to change, ever, ever, ever. And it's not a lack of trust. It's not a lack of belief in their abilities. It's because my entire existence has revolved around grabbing them in a bubble and keeping them safe and trying to make their world as clean and neat, as tidy as possible. And sometimes that means telling them how to do things the right way, my right way.
Right. And again, I go back to that. I think, you know, when you get your parents involved, they want the best for you. And that's really their only, the only reason they're so maybe
annoying,
insistent. annoying is one thing, but I mean, this goes with all the relationship aspects here of having those types of folks involved in your business, which is, how do you separate the business from the friendship? And if you don't have a very blunt, respectful, but yet blunt conversation about that up front, it's only going to get worse as time goes on. Mm-hmm. And you're going to dig a deeper and deeper hole, which then makes that conversation that much harder to have. And there's never going to be a point, if you haven't done it already, there's never going to be a point after which you start digging that hole where that conversation is going to get easier.
No.
So have it now. Suck it up. Rip the Band-Aid off. You got to have the conversation to set the ground rules. And it's okay. It's absolutely okay, because I've said it before many times. Nobody cares as much about your business as you do, because ultimately, nobody else has as much skin in the game as you do. Even if they're business partners, right? And they're silent partners, or they're distant partners, Greg, Baymel.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Ultimately, if you're the one with the boots in the dirt, nobody has as much skin in the game as you do. So you need to have that conversation up front.
You do. I've got two follow-ups to that. One is that you're presenting it from a perspective of you're the business owner. Sometimes it's a full-on partnership, and that's a whole different situation. But the expectation piece, you can't have that conversation too early, as you said. The longer you wait, the worse it gets. And that conversation, it doesn't mean you have to have that conversation once and forget about it. Those expectations can be reestablished and rediscussed. And look, we've been doing, you know, Gorse Valley forever, but Hopnology for the past couple of years. 2 months ago, you and I sat down and had another kind of, okay, let's reexamine where things are and what we're both putting into it, and where we go next. Where we go next, to some degree, is a backup and make a left turn from where we were going. And that's okay. That's okay to have those conversations and reestablish who's doing what and when and what timelines are. I think it's important to continually allow that to evolve. But as you said earlier, you can't wait until you're way down the rabbit hole to go, by the way, did I not mention that I'm the boss?
Yeah, somebody has to be in charge. And by in charge, it's not so much about bossing everybody around, but that person is also the one that bears the responsibility of operation. Mm-hmm. So you can call yourself the chief operations officer, right? The COO. Sometimes you're the CEO, the chief executive officer. That doesn't mean look at me, thumbs behind lapels, right? It means you're the one ultimately responsible to make that business go. So you can ask yourself the question, who's in charge of what, by taking a look at what duties they've been assigned, and what are the things that those people do or the things that you're expecting them to do that should just sort of happen. And so what is their responsibility when you start talking about, look, this is the way it is because this business is mine, or maybe it's, you know, that's simple when you're the sole proprietor, right? You don't have any other partners. You can start that conversation by saying, this is what my vision is for this company. And in order for me to grow it, it needs to operate this way, X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't diminish any effort that your family labor has put in, free gratis, or even if they are getting paid a minimal amount, they're employees at that point. And you have to have that conversation to say, this is what I need to take this business in the direction that I want. And I still want you to come with me, and I still want your help, because there's things, you know, above and beyond the actual physicality of doing that reap, you know, a reward for you of having them involved. But at the end of the day, you call the shots. It's your vision. And if folks are not allowing you the bandwidth to navigate your own vision, you got to change it.
Yep. Yeah, you do. If it was an employee, you'd say goodbye.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your input. I'll take that under consideration.
It's tough. It's tough. And everyone's family dynamic is different. Everyone's comfort level with standing up to their family is different, certainly. We're all in different mm-hmm. places on that. But I can't stress enough, and you said at the beginning, and we're going to say it over and over again, it's communication, it's expectations. Making sure that from the get-go, it's understood. Now, you can say anything you want at the outset about, you know, this is how it's going to go, and da-da-da-da, and your parents or your you know, friends or whoever may smile and nod and go, okay, got it. Well, that's all good, but we'll be here. We'll be here to catch you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, let's try this and see how it goes.
Right, and that's fine. I'm totally on board with that. And I believe that the vast majority of scenarios where you've got this expected family labor / input, the result's going to be, we're here to help you. Just tell us what you need. And if what you need is for us to shut our trap, or maybe, you know, okay. It's if you have that discussion and there's pushback and there's negativity and there's, if it goes any other way, then we're here to support you. Tell us what you need. Get rid of them.
Yep.
They need to be removed from your business. And at that point, it's another conversation. Say, you know what, Mom, Dad, or Aunt Jenny, or Brother Billy, or whatever your name is, I really appreciate your input and how far you've gotten me. But at this point, I need to take the business in another direction. So thanks for all your years of support, but I'm not going to need it anymore.
Mm. And that can be a difficult conversation. It can be a very difficult conversation.
It absolutely will be. But you've also elected to bring them into your business at an early stage. So you chose, as the business owner or whatever, to go this path. So you chose this risk. So this isn't without, you know, you're not without fault here. Assumptions and best intentions are there to say, well, you know, it's going to be fine. What am I going to do to get started? Am I going to pay people? I don't have any money. Well, let's go back to your business plan. What are you going to do? So there is a bit of, you know, culpability here on the owner's part, but that's aside. I mean, that's in the past. You got to deal with now. As I tell my teams when I'm coaching them, work the issue, work the problem. It's just data. Like, James, that's cold. Well, you know what? When you're running a business, you don't treat people like, you know, datum, right? You do have emotional intelligence when you're dealing with them, but what's driving you to make your decision has to be based on what is for the business and not how wound up you are that things didn't turn out the way you assumed that they would.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you said, you know, deal with the problem, and can't stress that enough, that you cannot just put your head in the sand and say, this will get better. It'll get better. We'll just work through this rough patch and it'll get better. You got to make changes. And again, you need to look at every employee, every helper, every partner as an employee. And yep. the fact that you also have dinner with them or, you know, sleep in the same room with them or whatever the case may be, you have to put it aside and
Correct.
Make sure that that's not impacting the business. And, you know, there's so many different places to take this because there's the how you get started in the first place with your friends and family. I mean, when you select a team, they say that the best leaders surround themselves with people who are smarter than they are. So when you select your team, when you're putting together your business, you're looking for folks that bring something to the table. Building a business and saying, I'm going to work with my friends, and you've never done social media marketing before, but why don't you do that so you can be part of this business? Ooh, think that one through a little further. You know, you want to bring the right people into the mix, and if they happen to be your friends and family, that's fine. Be ready for those pitfalls, but building a business around your family and finding something for everyone to do, I'm not a huge fan of that.
Okay. I mean, yeah, we could keep going on just family, right? But there's other things like having your brother-in-law involved with your business.
Yeah, I don't know who thought that was a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I knew this guy had a little money and was looking to, he liked beer. So,
so why not? Why so not at all?
I asked him in the kitchen at Christmas over pizza, hey, you want to give me some money? I want to cover all these potential topics, you know, of how you could get friends and family. How do you deal with business partners? How do you work all that stuff in there? But maybe if there's enough later, we can have another episode on, you know, how to have the talk with those family members. But that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. I do. And, you know, it's interesting. The example you just gave, our example, let's go into that just a tad because it had an interesting side effect to it. So yes, I mean, you have this idea. We were together, which we aren't all that often, but we were together. And we were talking about, hey, you know, do you want to put some money into this? And I said, sure. And then it might have been the next time we were together, you mentioned it in conversation and my father was there. I don't know if you recall this.
Vaguely. Was this at your house?
I think this was at my house.
This was at your house, like over Thanksgiving or something.
It must have, I can't think of any other reason we Christmas would have all been together. Yeah, but
I think corned beef was involved.
Probably. it probably was. So it must have been a holiday of some sort.
Yeah, yeah.
But he took me aside later and said, you did what? You invested money where? And it was this, in retrospect now, it was this perfect dynamic of, I'm not a child, Dad. I made a decision here. And he's looking at me going, what?
Yeah. Well, your father's also an accountant.
Yes, he is. So he's counting every penny, which that's another episode.
Yeah, right. And so was his aghast because you did something like that without his consultation?
Not so much that as consultation, but there are so many. I mean, we were, it was a long time ago. We were young. It was, there are so many other things to do with that money. Why would you basically dig a hole in a field in Wisconsin and throw that money into it?
Right.
So, and this is, you know, remember, I'm from, you know, the suburbs of New England. You know, a farm is something that only happens in the movies.
Right.
So
food comes from the grocery store.
It does.
Where else does it come from? Like, mm-hmm. Come on.
They go in the back and they put it in a bag for you and they hand it to you.
Right, exactly.
So that was part of it too, was the unknown. Now, over time, I will say when we decided to go the hopnology route and I explained that to him, he was ecstatic because he'd seen over time all the learnings and the value. And said, that's great. You're taking all the other things you've done and you're building on it and taking it in a direction where your experience has shown you it should go. Mm-hmm. This is a fantastic idea, mm-hmm. which was such a counterpoint to the conversation we'd had, you know, 12 years prior when he's going, what are you doing with your money?
That's exactly what he sounds like.
Yes, it is. It is. I am my father's son.
Yes. Yes.
And that's dealing with a family member who's not involved in the business, but is just involved in my life. So mm-hmm. he's getting concerned about where I'm putting my own money. Imagine when it's your shared money or money they loaned you
mm-hmm.
and you're putting it into something and they go, why would you make that decision?
Exactly. Well, I, again, you're a big boy. You can make your own decisions. I'm a good salesman. Anyway, so
there was a bait and switch involved.
There was a little bait and switch involved there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but when we talk, okay, so we talked about, you know, having like your parents or family involved, but let's talk about, it's a good segue now into, we happen to be family again, but not blood. So we're going to put this one more in the friends category. It's a different dynamic when you get your friends involved.
Yep.
Because, you know, there's not that, like with parents, not this kind of altruistic, misplaced altruism sometimes that kind of get in the way and gum up the works. It's more of a being, when you got friends involved, it's more about expectations, because certainly if you're seeking people out to invest, and I don't care what that investment is, if it's a cash investment, a time investment, both, or resources sometimes, maybe somebody has the land, you got to be absolutely upfront and clear with what the expectations are from the get-go. For instance, so we had, let's see, there was me and you and Joe and Dan and Christine. There's five of us.
Yep.
And Christine lives across the road from me. And she was very interested in agriculture and doing something local, so that made a good fit. I remember having a conversation. I put together I talked to all you guys. We had maybe a conference call or something. This is way back in the day.
Yeah, this is pre-Zoom.
Way pre-Zoom, yeah. And I put together the document and then sent it out. And everybody, I remember Christine, I think it was Christine, or maybe it was Thad, her husband, come over. It's like, yeah, I read this, but, you know, there's five of us and you have 52% ownership. I sure do. And he's like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. I said, are you going to do more than whatever 12% or 15% of the work? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do all of this? Are you going to be CEO, COO, CFO, and all of these things? Are you long for the ride? What are you in it for? And he said, well, that just means you can make whatever decisions you want. We don't have any say. I said, no, it didn't. You didn't read the rest of the document where we had, you know, we required a supermajority for voting. And just because I had 52 or 51, I don't remember what it was, percent, didn't mean that nobody else had a say. But you have to be realistic about what it is that you want out of this. You can say, I want majority control because I want to call the shots. Well, guess what? You're not likely to have a bunch of investors for very long. In our case, I said, I want majority control because this is my baby. I felt that if this thing was going to go and was going to make it, it was going to rest on me in terms of being able to maneuver quickly and to have the vision to execute. And I said, this business is going to sink or swim on me. And at that, you know, and if that's the case, this is what I want out of it.
Yeah. And I remember those early meetings and it made logical sense. I mean, I always looked at it as, yes, we were a partnership, but really it could have easily also been, this was your business and we were employees. The difference is that we were taking an ownership stake instead of a current salary from the whole thing. Anyone who's ever watched Shark Tank understands how that works.
but in that, you have a different dynamic because what ends up happening is, yes, James, you have 52%, so don't get all freaking bent out of shape when others are not investing in as much of their own sweat equity in it as you are. Mm-hmm. And there may come a time, and it may dawn upon you gently, or it may hit you like a bus, that you can't do it all by yourself. You can't do everything that you need to do that equates to your equity stake based on how you started. So things need to change, right? So what is the mechanism for that change? So, I mean, when you get into business with your friends, you have to be very clear upfront that this is the way it's going to work. These are the articles of organization. that allow us to operate. It's an operating agreement. It's a document, not a handshake, that says, in the case of X, Y, and Z, this is how we solve these things. And that way there's no assumptions being made.
Yeah. And when you know, from pure legality and business ownership perspective, in order to even get a bank account, a credit card, all those types of things for your business, you need to show the articles of incorporation, operating agreement, things like that. This is not a club.
Right. Correct. That was a previous episode of clubs.
Yes, it was. It was.
Nor is this a co-op.
No, it is not. The point being, though, this is not just something you do as a CYA. This is big boy business.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's there. That operating agreement is there, well, like you said, for the bank to show them that basically, yeah, you did your homework. But it's also there to help guide everyone that's involved so that there's no misunderstandings or kind of gray areas about expectations. Mm-hmm. So if you've got friends involved in your business, I suggest if you haven't got one already, you need to get one. And they may look at it and be like, whoa, wait a second, I don't want any part of this. This was just sort of fun for me. And it's like your baby and that's what you want to do. Then, okay, thank you very much. Goodbye. But then you're like, the hops are on their land.
Oops.
Oopsie. Looks like you're paying rent. You know, So this episode's not about trying to help you climb out of the hole you dug. I'm sorry.
Right.
Because everyone's a little bit different. But it's about those people that are looking to do this or maybe have just started and saying, hey, how do you do this? And what are the pitfalls that are there when working with your friends and family?
Yep. And we're certainly not saying don't work with your friends and family because those...
I am. Well, at least the family part. No.
Oh, man. You can find some great value there, and these are people that you know and I hope trust that you're bringing in. This is where you find your circle of folks that have similar ideas and similar motivations, or so you think. So we're not saying you don't. You by all means, stay away from your friends and family because, look, getting involved with strangers is we'll have a whole other episode on not getting into a van with a stranger. If we actually need to go down that path.
Oh, we do, I think, because people get dazzled by, you know,
by money.
The sexy hop life, and they do strange things.
That is true, actually. That is true. And so many of the folks that have come to us in the past for consulting are on the, you've heard us talk about this, on the money side of things. I've got all this money, and I love beer, so how do I get started in hop production? It's like, oh. First find a love of farming with some cherry tomatoes for a few years and then come back to us and we'll talk about what the hop life is because that money does not make you a grower. Anyway.
There's a new Tee Public shirt.
Oh, go grow some cherry tomatoes for a couple of years?
No. Hashtag hop life.
Oh, yes. Ooh, I like it. I like it. I'm writing that down so I don't forget.
Instead of thug life, you know, hop life. Mm-hmm.
Hop life. Oh, I think we need to own that one. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're not saying don't do it. Sometimes family arrangements work very well. I mean, I can think of a third generation farm that works very well.
Would that be Sandy Ridge Farms?
That would be Sandy Ridge Farms. our plant folks.
Yeah, in Michigan.
In Michigan.
Yep. You bet.
Hi, Sandy Ridge Farms. It is still, as you said, the middle of September. So their Labor Day sale, 20% off hop plants, is still going through October 9th, which hopefully this will publish before October 9th. I think it might be real close. It might be just under the wire to get your 20% off hop plants by the time this goes live.
It'll be close.
It'll be
like,
close.
Hey, I'm listening to this in April. Can I still get that?
And of course, anything other than hops plants, 5% off if you say Hopnology, or I think as we mentioned last time, just show up at their door and yell Hopnology, and they'll give you 5% off.
Yeah,
they love when you yell Hopnology.
Just roll in a drive and say, where's Julie?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Julie.
Give me my ficus. Okay.
Okay, so anyway, excellent example of a multi-generational family-run organization.
And also an example of what you can expect if you want to be a sponsor of this podcast. We're totally irreverent people.
But
we love
yes.
you. We
yes.
love you to death, Sandy Ridge Farms. Thank you for helping support us and being committed to quality.
And for the very cool Sandy Ridge Farms sweatshirts, by the way.
Which I'm wearing right now.
Mm-hmm. I was wearing mine yesterday. It was chilly. Okay, back to family and friends.
Let's talk about the friends part a little bit more. So, advice I would give people if you're looking to bring business partners in that are acquaintances, you need to know them as well as you know your significant other, or damn close. I mean, so see, I named off the folks that were in our group, and when we started that, I've known you guys all for 10 years at least.
At that point, yeah.
Yeah. You the longest, but Joe not too far behind. And these are all like, you know, graduate school friends and people I knew. But also I picked them not because I knew them the longest and that they would give me money, but because we talked about assembling our team several episodes ago. It was, who do I need on my team based on their skill sets? What are the major issues I think we're going to have in front of us? And who do we need on the team to fill that gap, experience gap or expertise gap? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I assembled the Justice League, right? And it was all based around the more technical aspects of running a business and solving these technical issues of growing hops in non-traditional regions in the United States.
Yep.
Engineers, scientists, we're all numbers geeks to some extent.
If you're a superhero geek like me, Google the Inferior Five. I think that's a better parallel. But
the Inferior Five. Yeah. So, but I recognize now in hindsight that I made a major flub in that I didn't have anyone on our team that was a sales and marketing person.
Yep, that was the miss.
And had we had that, I think things would have gone a bit differently. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it was a abject failure by any means, no. But because, I mean, Joe and myself have had years of sales training experience, but it's different. It's different if you're that person that has that mindset about sales and marketing. And this, none of the team had it. Mm-hmm. So there was a question about, do we need to bring somebody else in? Do we need to add to the you know, Justice League? But we just never got to that point.
No. And it, you know, once you've put all that paperwork and that ownership stake in place, if you do decide to bring someone else in, there's the added complication of, well, does that mean we all have to give up a little? Or does that mean it's a salary? And by the way, we're not profitable yet, so we're all, you know, out of pocket having to put some money in to make this work. How do we agree to make this happen when, you know, we thought we set the ground rules? Well, guess what? Pivot. Things change.
How do you keep people involved in your company, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say you do have a great employee, and how do you keep them engaged? Do you offer them equity? That's an option.
Yeah, it's a great thing to offer when you have no cash.
Of course, yeah, exactly. It's like, yep, we'll give you a piece. You know, 15% of zero is. but I would say when you're looking to work with your friends, you need to pick them very carefully, because, again, big boy business, big girl business, you need to be confident that the people that you're going to get in a relationship with, and it is a relationship, it's not just on paper, it's all kinds of drama, that they're going to be mature enough to respect, you know, the articles and the operating agreement and be able to have those conversations while removing the personal emotion from it.
Yep. Now, it's interesting. You picked people you had known for a long time. I know for me, I didn't know any of them when this all got started. And now I consider them my friends, but even though I've probably only been in the same room with many of them, you know, a dozen times. But I'm curious, the rest of them, I believe they all knew each other ancillary through you, but they didn't have those bonds with each other.
Oh, no. And most of them didn't know. I mean, none of you guys knew each other at all except through me. And we're only introduced to each other. And it was about, I think, you guys trusting me and saying, these are the people that I've assembled to to be part of this, and this is why. And
I think it was sort of the opposite. It wasn't so much trusting you, is that we looked at each other and said, well, if you've got the kind of mindset that you can put up with James, then I'd love to work with you.
Exactly. You're like, there's five of us, or four of us, and one of him.
Mm-hmm. We had that common pain in our lives.
And, yeah. You know. And even then you said, we need more guys. I said, yeah, you need more guys. So I'm used to that.
Oh, sure. So yeah, that you very, you know, you keep making the Justice League comment, but you're right. You very specifically looked at here are the skill sets we need to make this work. These are people I feel I can work with. They're people I think will give what I need to make this dream a reality, and they are folks that fill those holes.
And I brought that up kind of as a way to bookend this conversation, because if you go back to the family members again, or even friends that are really passionate about being involved in your business to the point where it's causing you pain, if they don't bring a superpower to your Justice League table, they're labor, and labor can be bought. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, but I can't afford it. Really? If they're causing you that much heartache and pain, and you're like, oh no, it's fine now, to your point, Greg, but it's going to come up again. And there's just these constant little hiccups and road bumps and blockages. It's not worth the effort, because all of the energy you're putting in dealing with that, whether it's actual time spent dealing with it or the agony of, and the emotions of it afterward, you know, in the off hours, you can't sleep, it's just causing you stress, is not worth it. You need to do something about it, and you need to do something about it now.
Yep. And getting back to the whole articles of incorporation and operating agreement, we had a provision in place for if someone is leaving, here is how that works. And there was a point where we almost needed to act on it. We had someone who just kind of disappeared for a while. And we had a conversation and said, it was not a you're out conversation. It was, do you want to be bought out? Do you want to be out of this?
Well, and there was some concern there about someone else in their personal relationship might gain partial control of some of their operating shares because of, you know, maybe a marital issue. Do we want that?
Yep.
And under the operating agreement, we have an executable clause that says, you know, in case of blah, 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 this is what we can do. So what does that mean? We're ready to execute it if we have to, but we don't necessarily want that individual to go.
Right.
What happens, this whole thing is like, well, my personal life is separate from my business life. Bullshit. No, it isn't.
No, it's not.
Uh-uh. Nope. When you're getting into business with somebody else, and let's say you have a spouse or a significant other in your personal relationship, you now have two relationships. Mm-hmm. And they're not mutually exclusive. They are so closely intertwined. And yeah. So you need to make sure you've got yourself covered from that end as well.
You do. You know, any career, any job has this ramification. But if you're growing anything, farm life is different than 9-to-5 day job life. And your spouse, your family that you live with, they better be on board. So the same goes for these business partners. If you're joining in on an operation where for a good part of the summer you are out the door all the time, taking vacation days from your day job, losing the weekends because you're out helping on harvest for what is, in air quotes, someone else's business that you're a part of, you got to make sure your family is on board with that, because, you know, the third time you miss that ballet recital, you're going to be hearing about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that. And my wife used to say she was a hops widow because I was gone all the time working in the field, certainly when I had another day job. It was an absolute relationship neglect, and it was not fair to her. So it's real.
Oh, yeah. A hashtag hop widow I'm adding to my new list of Instagram tags.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no good. So
yeah. So I can hear the pushback now of, well, the way to prevent, you know, your spouse from becoming a hop widow is to make her your sales and marketing person, is to have them as equally invested in the business as yours. And it brings us full circle back to this is your dream that you're building. And I mean, I will, at the end of the day sometimes, you know, talk to my wife about all the stuff going on with Hopnology. And after about 30 seconds, I can see the light go out. She's just not interested anymore.
Yep. My wife said when I started this business, she said, the only thing she says, don't mess up my taxes. Mm-hmm. And that's as much as she wanted to have to do with it. Okay, you got it. I'll set up the business so it doesn't impact our personal taxes.
Enjoy your plants and your crazy Discord server.
Yes. But even now, when she hears me talking, like we had a Discord live chat a few weeks ago, and she heard me talking to, you know, everybody on the Discord, and she's like, I was having a mini panic attack when I heard you talking about hops like that to everybody again, because it scarred her so badly.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, it's serious. So be damn careful and purposeful when about your passion and who you expect to be a part of it. Because again, I'm going to end it here. Nobody cares as much about it, your business, as you do.
Yep. See, and my wife has the opposite reaction. She hears me having those conversations and she knows it means she can watch more Shark Week. So it keeps me out of her way.
Well, there's that.